From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I am your host, Jake Skorheim. It's the third hour of the show. 9 o'clock is really where we can just let our hair down and have some fun. Thank you guys so much for choosing to spend your time with us. If you missed the first 2 hours of the show, boy, did you make a mistake. There's a lot of good stuff out there. You don't want to miss it. And so, I actually have a solution for you. You're going to love this solution, I hope. I don't know. You might not like it, but I hope you do. Go download the podcast, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. That means you can listen to me in crystal clear HD anytime you want. Put me right in your pocket. I'm just your buddy, ready to go. In a non-pervy way, it's lots of fun. Stupid. No, but really, we post a lot of stuff there. So if you want to check it out, please be my guest. It doesn't cost you anything. There's really no risk. People say that term all the time, risk versus reward. This is just reward when you download the podcast. Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. Get it on Spotify. Get it on Apple. Anywhere you want it. You can check it out. All right. We got a lot of stuff to get to, so let's get it. I was really excited about this story when I saw it earlier in the week. And so, but I realized that maybe I had actually been tricked. So I'm going to tell you the story, and then I'm going to tell you why I realized that maybe we're all just being tricked. Listen to this. Are we living in the future? No, not like a simulation and we're not part of a computer. I just mean the things that they're doing now technologically with city government stuff, specifically drones that will be used to combat graffiti after this new bill has been signed by Governor Jay Inslee. This story is on MyNorthwest.com. You guys can check it out there. It's really interesting. I don't think it's going to work. And I'm going to explain to you in just a minute why I don't think it's going to work. And the reason it's not going to work, I don't think, is because we have to know our history. And if you know your history, you're not doomed to repeat it, which is, I think, a thing that people say. But listen to this. First, the drones. State transportation officials have been authorized to use drones to address graffiti vandalism after Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed House Bill. Well, you don't care about the House Bill. But this is interesting, right? This idea of using drones to spray off the graffiti on the sides of overpasses, things like that. With the passage of this bill, a pilot program will now allow the Washington State Department of Transportation, or WSDOT for short, to operate spray drone technology to cover up existing graffiti. Two guys can sit in the truck, operate the drone, and paint over it so that they can keep after it quicker and get it covered faster and less expensive. That is Representative Andrew Barkus, a Republican from Olympia. He spoke to Cairo News Radio. That's us. He says the explosion of graffiti in our state has become a serious concern that demands an immediate and comprehensive response. He's not wrong. I'm going to step outside the article here for just a second. This is Jake's commenting here. This is me. He's absolutely right. If you guys have driven downtown anytime in the last 5 years, it has gotten really, really bad. Like in the last 2-3 years, it's gotten unbelievably bad. Every single surface of the overpasses, the sideways, the noise barriers, all the stuff around the roads covered in graffiti. And as you drive down there, and thankfully, they have also started now to clear some of these areas of these homeless encampments that were just popping up and were everywhere, it seemed. But they have started clearing some of those, which is great. I'm glad they are clearing some of those. They needed to. It's dangerous. I'm a person who firmly believes that we can have compassion and we can also hold people to high standards, because I don't think that we should be allowing human beings to live outside like animals. I don't think we should be doing that. I don't know why we put up with it. I don't know why that became a thing in Seattle. It's why I moved out of Seattle with my family. It's why we decided we didn't want to live here. And why many of you, my smart listeners, have also decided you would rather live in other counties, not in King County. We have a lot of King County listeners, but we have a lot of people who do not live in downtown Seattle. Because I think you guys are really smart. That's why. And for the ones who do live in downtown Seattle, you are smart, but you also live in the city. So I don't know what that says about you, but I guess you can be two things at once. Back to drones. Let's get back to drones for a second. Representative Andrew Barkus, Republican Olympia, he says, this bill acknowledges the frustration Washingtonians feel about graffiti on our roadways and sends a clear message that enough is enough. We cannot continue to allow the actions of a few to shape the narrative of our communities. He is 100% right there. you are going down there. You're watching. You're just like, you're suddenly, it's like Biff world. Do you remember in Back to the Future where Marty McFly accidentally leaves the sports almanac in the back of the DeLorean, and then old man Biff finds the DeLorean parked behind something. He finds the sports almanac. He puts two and two together, and he realizes that Marty is time traveling, and he thinks to himself, oh, hey, I got a good idea. I don't know why I'm describing to you the plot of Back to the Future 2, but this is what it is. I'll just finish it up here since I already started. I'm gone down this road. Let's get to the end. We'll circle back, and we'll come back to drones. So old Biff, he jumps into the DeLorean. He figures out somehow, I don't know how he figures out, but he somehow figures out how to fly back to 1955 with the sports almanac. He gives the sports almanac to young Biff. Young Biff then uses the sports almanac to place bets on every single sporting event between 1955 and whenever it ends. Makes a ton of money so that by the time that Marty McFly goes back to his current reality, which is sometime in 1980s, I think it's 1985, he goes back to 1985. Suddenly he realizes, oh my gosh, there has been a butterfly effect change. Now 1985 doesn't look like the one that I left. It now looks like a dystopian future where things are really bad because Biff is now leading everything. He's controlling everything. In some ways, I'm not saying this is exactly what happened in Seattle, but like I remember Seattle as a kid being very different than Seattle is now. And also I remember Seattle in my 20s. When I lived in Seattle as a 20-something year old, just a young, peppy guy, excited about life, going around, trying to date my wife, going on dates, seeing the city, trying to be out and about in the city. It did not have the issues that Seattle has now. It has changed drastically in the last 10 or so years. Graffiti is just one of them. Graffiti is like just one of the things that we can see on the outside that lets us know something is deeply wrong in the city of Seattle. But graffiti's a big deal, so we'll stick with graffiti. Anyway, let's get back to graffiti, and let's get back to graffiti drones and why I don't think they're going to work. This is just a pilot program. This is not guaranteed to work. They're trying this. They said we are spending over $1 million a year to deal with this current problem, and it doesn't seem like it's being dealt with. Again, this is Andrew Barkus. He's saying, so if we can find a cost measure to do it more effectively and get it done, I'd love to see it. That's great. I totally agree with him. If we could save money, if we can get it clean, that would be great. So the department is going to spend a bunch of money to see if they can make this the new normal and see if this works. The problem with this is, one, I don't know how this is going to work. And I'm not speaking about this as somebody who has no experience using these drones. I've actually used these drones. Like my kids and I have some RC drones because they're super cool and they're fun. And this is just like a really neat technology to fly. And like you can make the drones do all the things. They can flip upside down. They're really loud and they're fun. I have three little boys. So like they love fly RC anything. We do a lot of RC cars at the house. We fly a lot of RC planes. Drones. We've got like, I don't know how many drones do we have. We probably have four different drones. We even have a really fancy one. I didn't buy it. My father-in-law bought it, but it's a really fancy drone that has like a pair of goggles that I can hook up to and I can look out the drone. I can have the point of view of the drone on this little like 4K camera that the drone has, and you can fly it around, and it's very disorienting actually if you're flying it because it's just like it makes you feel seasick. The kids don't seem to have an issue with it, but I get sick watching it. But you can put the screen over your eyes and you can fly. I mean, you guys know what this is. You've seen this technology. So these drones fly now, but I don't know how they're going to carry paint. I have no idea how they're going to carry this paint. I think it's going to be tough to do. Tough to carry enough paint so that it actually makes a difference. I guess there's like different weights of paint, and I guess it's just going to be a lighter paint that they're going to be spraying on. But I don't know how they're going to do it. So this is interesting though, and this is why I think I'm cautiously. I'm not optimistic that this is going to work. I'm rightfully pessimistic that this is going to work. And the reason I'm pessimistic, I had to go all the way back to 2008 because I remembered something. I said, didn't the city one time adopt a futuristic kind of technology? Didn't Seattle try to do this before? Not with drones and not with paint, but didn't they before try to say, hey, isn't there a technological way to deal with something that people don't want to have to clean themselves? And can't we like just get technology to do this for us? And what if we put some money into it and it would change the way that we do something in the city that was currently a problem? And of course, I'm speaking about bathrooms. If anybody who's lived here for a long time, they might remember this. This is a hilarious story. So I hope that you guys are still listening and I hope you care enough about this because this is very funny. But to tell the story effectively, we got to go all the way back to 2008, my first year working as a producer for the Dory Monson Show. And I can tell you, Dory made hay with this story because it's hilarious and it just perfectly is a perfect example of how the city can just figure out a way to waste money. And so I'm going to tell you that story in just a second. But again, we got to go back to 2008.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
All right, so imagine we just jumped in the DeLorean, which is another reference from, we were just talking about the DeLorean a second ago. I didn't plan that. That's just like, it happened. That just worked out. It's a happy coincidence. I think they call that serendipity. So we are now back in 2008. This is the Seattle Times headline. Listen to this. Seattle's $5 million automated public toilets have finally sold on eBay. I will get to the price that they sold for in just a second. But if, in case you weren't living in Seattle at the time or you don't remember this, Dory did a fantastic job telling this story. And it was so wonderful when this story popped up because it was the perfect Dory story. The city of Seattle decided in their infinite wisdom, they said, hey, you know what would be a really good idea? What if we took this public toilet issue problem that they're having, that they're always having? Public toilets are always gross. People don't want to use them. They're always dirty. People do bad things in public toilets. And so what if we had public toilets that cleaned themselves? They were automated. They used technology to clean themselves. Now, I don't know how this would work, but what if we did this? So back in 2004, the city purchased high-tech public toilets. And the big sale of these things, the big selling point of these were they had sanitizing water jets, automatic doors that would clean themselves. And so in between uses for tourists, transients in Pioneer Square, Capitol Hill, the Seattle waterfront, Pike Place Market, and Chinatown International District, they installed five of these. In between uses, these toilets would clean themselves. And think of the money we're going to save on public toilets that no longer have to be cleaned by crews of people to clean these toilets. Because again, technology, they're automated. It's amazing. So how much did city spend on these toilets? They were $5 million toilets. Not for each one. That would have been ridiculous. But it's still ridiculous. It was $5 million for five toilets. $1 million a pop. Self-cleaning, I understand that. That's exciting. What they basically look like, in case you guys don't know, in case you didn't see these, didn't see them at the time. Imagine like a porta potty. You know those porta potties that are like wheelchair accessible, so they're extra big, and they're pretty, you know, they got a big wide open swinging door. Imagine that set up in, I think they had these in, here, where's the list here? Pioneer Square, Capitol Hill, the Central Waterfront, Pike Place Market, and Chinatown in the International District. So they set up these five water toilets. And again, they're just, oh man, how cool this technology. They're sanitizing water jets. They have automatic doors, which again was a big selling point. I don't know why that's a big selling point. All the way back in 2004. So they install these. And what happens almost immediately? Well, the problem is they don't work. They have some weird mechanism that came out from behind the seat that was supposed to like drag itself over the surface of the seat. Because as you know, when you go into these public toilets, a lot of times people, they don't have great aim. That's as gross as I want to get describing that. But the seats were often covered in things, which is disgusting. And so the city, the toilets had this like sanitary wipe that would come out and the technology was supposed to wipe the seat clean. And again, for $1 million, I would hope that it worked, but it didn't. It didn't work. It worked very poorly. And the other thing that happened, because again, they're kind of bigger and they had a fair amount of space in there. Well, you have some people that are living outdoors. Back in 2004, you called them homeless people. Now you call them unhoused. You had people that decided to set up camp inside these comfortable, super high-tech automated toilets. Essentially, you have a $1 million house that looks like a toilet that somebody is now moving into, and it just didn't work. The other thing that happened in these toilets is that they became, not only were they filthy, not only they became like dens of drug use, they were also used, unfortunately, as prostitution outlets. People were just posting up in there, running the oldest business out of these toilets. Again, $1 million a pop. You could buy Think of in 2004. Think of the money that you could spend in 2004. Think of how much house that you could buy for $1 million in the city of Seattle. And houses generally have more than one bathroom. Just think of that. They spent $1 million a toilet. All right, so I've described you the toilets now. This is a long time ago. This is so in 2008, the city says, all right, this didn't work. Became a drug den, filthy, disgusting. Technology didn't work, and it was being used for prostitution. So yeah, we got to shut these things down. So they yank them out. They spent $5 million on them. They yank them out. And then they put them up for sale on eBay with a, let's see, what was the minimum bid originally? The minimum bid for these toilets was $89,000. And everyone said, nah, it's not worth it. I'm not going to do it. In the second attempt to sell them on eBay, the city said, all right, let's offer no minimum and let's see who bids. So 148 bids were cast, and they ended up selling all five of them for $12,000. All five of them. So I don't know if you guys want to do that math in your head, but originally $5 million investment for an experimental futuristic technology, and they end up selling them at a pretty steep loss, I would say, for $12,000. Now, the city doesn't look at things like you and I look at things because the city is nuts. And they don't care about money because it's your money. It's not their money, but they're spending your money. And so here's what the city said at the time. I'm not going to name the spokesperson for the Seattle Public Utilities who spoke on this article because I don't want to embarrass them. This comment has not aged well. And it wasn't a comment that went over well then. But this spokesperson said, we sold them for what the market determined to be worth, which again, $12,000. The city thought they were worth $5 million, but in reality, they sold on eBay for $12,549. And then asked, they said, like, what do you think about that loss? And they said, did we get hosed? I'm not sure. How ridiculous is that? Yes, you got hosed. If you buy something for $5 million and you sell it at a loss for $12,549, then yes, that is a loss. I can tell you. I'm not like a mathematician genius, but I can tell you that that's not a good investment of Seattleites' money. So when the state of Washington says they're now going to invest in paint drones that are going to paint the sides of overpasses, and they're going to paint, like, I'll believe it when I see it. They're going to spend a bunch of money doing this. I promise you they're going to spend a bunch of money doing this. And what they're going to end up finding is, you know what? Maybe it's just better to, like, get out there, put a little sweat effort into it, and hire a guy with a roller and just go up and down the road and cover up this graffiti, which is probably what they'll end up doing eventually. But whatever. They can try it. It's fun to try new things. And you know what? It's really fun to fly these drones. So good luck to them. All right. We got a lot of stuff coming up on the show. Stick around. Next, we're going to talk about some sports. A couple of local college teams here in Washington State are making their way through March Madness. So we're going to have Mike Lefko from 710 Seattle Sports. He's going to join us. We're going to talk about that next. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
It's the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Carter Subaru has over 200 new vehicles in stock, like the 2024 Subaru Outback and Forester in the color and trim you're looking for, both with financing starting at 1.9% on approved credit. Carter Subaru also wants to buy your car. Carter Subaru will buy your vehicle for top dollar, even if you're not in the market. Carter Subaru in Shoreline and Ballard.
On approved credit, subject to vehicle insurance and availability, a documentary service fee of up to $200 may be added to the sale price or capitalized cost. See dealer for details. Valid 3/31/24.
Hartley and Brent from Wilcox Family Farms.
Hartley, what do you love about the farm?
The dogs.
The dogs?
Yes, the Great Pyrenees dogs. They are playful and very smart. Also, they protect the hens living in the mobile hen houses from predators like coyotes, hawks, and other animals that want to eat them. They're the best. I wish people could see them.
They can at WilcoxFarms.com.
Wilcox Farms, locally fresh since 1909. Look for Wilcox Mobile Pasture Eggs at Fred Meyer, QFC, and PCC Natural Markets.
Hey, it's Brandy Cruz. Temperatures are frigid outside, but the spring real estate market will be heating up before we know it. Why? Well, we're in a presidential election year, and the Fed is indicating that it's going to cut interest rates. I'm here with Wes Jones of SellWithWes.com. This is going to be good news for the real estate market.
Whoever, you know, has the presidency, they want the country to feel good about things. So what can they control right now, at least in housing? The biggest issue is interest rates. 8% is kind of what stopped the market here. It wasn't there for that long. We're on our way down. The Fed is telegraphing what they're going to do. They're saying up to 3 cuts in 2024.
So make sure you get a head start to set your home up for success when it hits the market. Visit sellwithwest.com. Learn about their services like the Listing Boost Concierge service to make sure your home truly shines for buyers. And start by using their home value calculator at sellwithwest.com to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. Sellwithwest.com, a better way to sell your home.
Take the next step to becoming a Seahawks season ticket holder. Join the season ticket holder notification list to secure your spot in line. By signing up, you'll be the first to know when space becomes available on the official Blue Pride wait list. Plus, receive team news, special ticket offers, and more. Visit Seahawks.com/season tickets to sign up today.
This is Jack Stein for Western Governors University. Have you heard about the paper ceiling? It's a barrier that prevents workers without a bachelor's degree or master's from progressing in their field. I experienced it myself and went back to university to break through the paper ceiling and jumpstart my career. WGU's College of Business designs its bachelor's and master's degrees to keep up with the speed of business through ongoing industry collaboration to ensure the skills you gain are the skills that employers value most. Go to WGU.edu to start advancing your career today.
Bonneville, Seattle, and Cairo News Radio are looking for organizations that regularly distribute information about employment opportunities to job applicants or have job applicants to refer. If your organization would like to receive notifications of job vacancies, please notify Human Resources at 1820 Eastlake Avenue East, Seattle, Washington 98102, or email us at seattlealljobs@bonneville.com or call 206-726-6902. Bonneville is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you dealing with plantar fasciitis? You're not alone. 2 million Americans suffer from unbearable arch or heel pain each year. I remember that awful pain. Even standing in place would hurt. But those days are long gone thanks to my Good Feet Arch Supports. Hi, this is Ursula Roytine. It was about 7 years ago, I walked into the Good Feet store in Linwood desperate for relief. I took advantage of their free personalized fitting and test walk because I wanted to make sure their arch supports would actually work. So many others had not. Immediately, I felt a big difference, and it's only gotten better since then. Now I can do all the things I love to do and wear all of my favorite shoes without worrying about nagging foot pain. And right now, when you buy the Good Feet 3-Step Arch Support System, mention Cairo News Radio, and you'll receive free comfort cushions for each of your arch supports. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from being active this spring. Schedule your free fitting and test walk at one of the 5 Western Washington Good Feet stores at goodfeet.com. That's goodfeet.com.
I started Davis Law Group 30 years ago with the goal of bringing the highest quality of legal representation to accident victims. Contact Washington's best personal injury team today at 206-727-4000 or visit us at davislawgroupseattle.com.
My wife and I both, we ended up mildly sick for a few months, and the nasal congestion was probably the worst part. I had like a post-nasal drip, just super congested all the time. We were taking everything we possibly could, but nothing really worked.
Kyrie was miserable until a friend recommended Navage. Navage offers immediate drug-free congestion relief, flushing your nasal passages with refreshing saline and sucking out mucus, germs, and other airborne irritants. Don't live in misery this cold season. Use Navage so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel your best right away.
The biggest thing Navage has done has completely cleaned out my nasal passages. It was from the first use. I was able to just clear out anything that was stopping me from breathing correctly. Navage helps me clear the way, literally clear the way, for me to operate better in the rest of my life.
Experience the Navage difference yourself. Navage is available at Navage.com or at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
Cairo News Radio, 97.3 FM, Northwest News. Now, the latest from Cairo News Radio and MyNorthwest.com.
Good evening, I'm Lisa Brooks. Another health crisis is rocking Britain's royal family. Princess Kate is battling cancer. She announced her diagnosis in a video released by Kensington Palace today, following months away from public view and rampant speculation about her health. CBS's Ian Lee has the latest from London.
Palace sources tell CBS News she has already begun the early stages of a course of preventative chemotherapy. Kate's announcement saddened Londoners.
I'm absolutely devastated that she's got abdominal cancer, because she's a sweetheart.
You never like to hear that somebody's got cancer in such a, you know, young family.
Kate says she's feeling healthy and grateful Prince William is at her side.
The princess is asking the public for more time, space, and privacy while she undergoes treatment. Russian officials have raised the death toll in Friday's concert hall attack to at least 60 people, with more than 145 others injured. Gunmen sprayed civilians with bullets just before a rock group was to perform to a full house at the Crocus City Hall just west of Moscow. CBS News' Pat Milton has the latest.
U.S. law enforcement sources briefed on the investigation said at least four heavily armed gunmen conducted a complex attack on the popular concert venue. The gunmen were wearing camouflage and believed to have used hand grenades and other incendiary devices such as firebombs. ISIS is claiming responsibility.
U.S. intelligence services had warned Moscow in recent weeks of the possibility of an attack. Avoid southbound I-5 in the Tukwila area this weekend if you can. Lanes are now being coned off for the Revive I-5 project. They'll be down to just one lane by midnight. All lanes won't reopen until early Monday morning. There's a new iteration for a world-famous Seattle secondhand store. I'm gonna pop some tags. Most of the former Capitol Hill Value Village, where Macklemore taped some of Thrift Shop, is being taken over by Central. That's a company that provides temporary office space. The first floor will still have Five Iron Golf, a company that is co-owned by Macklemore. The 1917 building is a designated landmark. It was REI's first retail store. Here's your Cairo News Radio forecast. The rain will be with us for a while, most of the weekend, in fact. We'll see lows about 47. Tomorrow, rain mostly in the morning. The rest of the day should be pretty cloudy. Highs near 54. It's 51 and a wave of showers has just passed through downtown Seattle. I'm Lisa Brooks, Cairo News Radio.
Your best source for local news. You're listening to Cairo News Radio, Northwest News.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's Friday. I got a good buddy of mine on right now, Mike Lefko from 710 Seattle Sports. And anytime Mike is on, we get to talk.
Score time with Skorheim.
Yes. Mike, welcome to the show.
It's great for scores today and yesterday, Jake.
Yes.
It's been a great time.
It has been great.
Good time to talk sports.
Have you been loving the March Madness?
Yeah, I haven't sat down much. I think, you know, you get up, you watch, games get close, you're kind of, you find yourself just pacing around.
Yeah.
Excited, nervous energy, even if you don't have anything on the line. So it's a really fun sports time. So I'm glad I'm on here to share it with you.
I'm glad you're here too. I wanna suck up all of your sports knowledge of what's going on right now. We do have a lot to talk about because we have some local teams who are doing well in the tournament, who did well yesterday. I think we have some audio of this too, right? So this is Isaiah Watts. He's a Washington State Cougar, and he sunk a 3-point that was pretty useful.
They feed it right for Watts. Let's a three fly. He hit it. He hit it. Isaiah Watts, right wing. 1:46 to play. Cougs up two here in Omaha. 61-59. Timeout Bulldogs. 98 seconds left.
Did you watch that game as it was happening?
Yeah, and I was coming down the end of the night. I thought all three of the games that I had picked were going to be wrong.
Yeah.
And then that great Washington State comeback. That was impressive because they were down like, I think, 6 or 7 with under 5 minutes left. And it was a back and forth game, but it felt like Drake had all the momentum and they were going to, you know, have enough to hold it off. And
I thought Drake was going to win.
Yeah, no panic from Washington State. You know, it's not like they've been to the tournament much. Their first tournament win since 2008.
Yes.
So it's a huge monumental moment, especially for a team that has been trying to assert itself in a dissolving Pac-12. So what a good statement. What a fun time to be a Cougar fan.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. That is a nice, like, bow on this bad situation for them.
Yeah.
I went to Washington State, so I was excited. I didn't graduate from there because I was only there for a semester before I transferred and went to school in Hawaii. But I don't think Hawaii
can't argue that decision.
Yeah, can't argue. This is smart.
They're not in the tournament this year, but they have been before.
They have been. Yeah. In fact, when I went, I think when I was in school there, they were in the tournament. They were very good at the time, but WSU is doing well, so they play again. Is it tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay. Against Iowa State.
Against Iowa State. How are they supposed to do against Iowa State? Is Iowa State good?
Yeah, Iowa State's the 2 seed, and people think they could have been the 4th 1 seed. You know, the top 4 teams get slotted at the top of each little region.
Yeah.
So Iowa State won the Big 12. They crushed Houston in the championship game, which sometimes the teams that already are going to be locked at the top, like Houston, they don't try as much. They rest some key guys, but Iowa State looks very good. It's just, you know, the tournament's a matchup of styles, because who would have thought that a team like Oakland could beat Kentucky?
Oh my gosh.
They wouldn't in the regular season.
Oakland something, right? It's not Oakland, California.
It's Oakland University in Michigan.
In Michigan, yeah. And the guy who kind of put them on his back, he came off the bench. He scored 32 points.
All on threes. Two free throws and 10 threes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Have you read anything about his story?
He played at like a community college for a couple years, then transferred here.
Well, he went to a Division II school also. He went to a Division II private school, and then he transferred to Oakland.
Yeah. And I say here, like Oakland. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. He transferred to Oakland, and then he's like, this is his sixth year playing, because I would assume he's a graduate student right now. He is 24 years old, and he gave this press conference after the game last night, which I actually found really quite charming. And they were talking to this guy. Is it Gerke? Is that his last name?
Golke.
Golke. Yeah. Okay. They're talking to him, and they're like, how did you guys do this? Because they were what, 13 seed?
14 seed, yeah.
Were they
Kentucky
14?
Was a 3, yep.
Okay, so a 3 versus a 14. Yep. Kentucky's won, what, like 8 times? They've won the national championship. So he's given this interview, and he's like, listen, I know that a bunch of those guys on that team are all NBA draft picks. I'm never playing in the NBA, but I do know that we're a really good team, and on any given night, we have the ability to go out there and beat them, which is what we did tonight. To just have that attitude is kind of crazy. And do you believe him when he says, I don't think I'm an NBA caliber player?
Oh, yeah, he's not.
That's right.
He wouldn't be playing at Oakland in a 6 year. But, you know, that's the beauty of this tournament. And even in the midst of all of college sports, you know, there's a lot of murkiness. You know, some, you know, people are transferring. The whole model is kind of getting upended. This is why people still love this college basketball tournament, because it's a unique situation.
Cinderella's.
Where you get this. And this can potentially happen, because he's right. All those Kentucky players are going to go play in the NBA. But they weren't as good of college basketball players as that guy in Oakland last night.
Yeah,
and that's what this is, a college basketball tournament.
Because Oakland last night, they were a better team. It's like the team. It's like the you know, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, listen, whatever that speech was.
Right, yeah, there you go.
He's like,
perfect.
They're going to beat us every night. But one night out of 10, if we work as a team, that we can beat them. Yeah, I thought it was just like, the tournament is so fantastic. And I'm not even a person who follows basketball the rest of the year. I only get interested in basketball in February because I know that March Madness is coming up. So I just like to know a little bit about the teams.
Right.
It is a blast to watch. Okay, so that's Oakland aside. They're not even anywhere near here. So we have WSU, who beat Drake last night. So they're going to play again on Saturday. And then we have the Gonzaga.
Also playing tomorrow. Yeah.
Who crushed, right? They beat them by like 20 or something.
Yeah. They should have, though. Like, that's seeding wise. You know,
what is Gonzaga ranked this year?
Well, they were ranked low 20s, but they're a 5 seed.
Okay, so they're expected to do fairly well.
Yeah, now what's interesting, when you get both good teams winning, it sets up really good second-round matchups, because you're playing a 4 seed in Kansas.
Yeah.
So you have this like battle of blue buds, the college basketball powerhouses over the last 15 to 20 years. So that's a big second-round matchup. So that's tomorrow as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I can't wait for that. All right, so another thing I want to talk to you about real fast, and I guess we've already talked enough about basketball. We don't need to play the final call of the WSU game. Have you seen this video? This is a little, I don't know, it's a little gossipy, but I like to talk about this. Russell Wilson released another video of him working out. Now, everybody knows that Russell Wilson got fired by the Broncos. He then got hired by the, who's he playing?
Steelers.
Right? Pittsburgh. So he's going to Steelers. He's going to Pittsburgh. And so he releases this like kind of hype video. I'm just gonna play you like 5 seconds of it here. G Block, all we know is red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum. It's like he's doing shuffling his feet. He's throwing some passes. I don't know where he's at, but that place looks beautiful.
San Diego. That's his off-season home, and that's his house.
Yeah. That's his house.
Yeah.
I just assumed it's like a super
training field,
beautiful resort. That is an unbelievable house.
Yeah, Resort Russ.
God bless that guy. Yeah. That guy's got some good real estate.
If you think about it, it makes sense. Like, if you're an NFL quarterback, Russell Wilson aside, if you're an NFL quarterback, you're going to invest a ton of money in keeping your body, your most important your most important asset as good as possible. So, hey, if he's able to do that, good on him.
That's fantastic.
You can train all year round, just go out to your backyard, bring guys in. So that's what he'd do with the Seahawks. So he'd invite Seahawks guys down there. And a lot of them would come down in the offseason and train. Yeah.
Like
for a couple weeks at a time. Right. So it is. There you go. It's a resort.
Yeah.
In a sense.
That's fantastic. Anyway, I just thought it was funny because he just skewered online. People just like, there's nothing that he can do. I almost feel bad for him at this point because he just like, he can't win for trying. And he posts this video in defense of people online who thought it was funny. He is wearing like aviator shades or whatever he's wearing as he's doing these workouts. But it's San Diego. It's really sunny and really nice.
I think the point is you don't have to post that video.
No, you don't.
Like if you're a guy who has been, quote, humbled and you're ready for a second chance and you're coming in at the veteran minimum, you don't have to post anything.
You know,
no one says you have to show off.
You're right.
And flaunt all that. So I think that's why, because it's throughout his whole career, he's done things like this.
Is that why? Okay, so you have just, I think, zeroed in on what I have had a tough time trying to figure out. I think that is the reason why people very quickly want to root against Russell Wilson.
Yes.
There is this side of him which does these ridiculous things. Like, you're totally right. He didn't have to post that video. Nobody asked him, like, hey, Russ, post this video. Nobody's saying that. Show us your sweet house. Show us all this stuff. Like, you just, like, embarrassed yourself in Denver for 2 years. Somebody posted, I thought this was really funny, one of these guys, he said, I don't know the guy's name, Mile High something, but he posted on the video that was, I think he put this out on X or something, formerly Twitter, and the guy said, oh, that's funny, he normally runs circles and then gets sacked, which is like a ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
And then somebody else was saying that this had a lot of Uncle Rico vibes.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
It's just the whole thing is ridiculous, but I don't know. I wish him well. I wish him well in Pittsburgh until they play the Seahawks at some point.
All right.
And I hope they lose. All right. Mike Lefko, 710 Seattle Sports. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, always a lot of fun. We got some college basketball in. That's what I love. I love that sport.
I love it. And this is going to be going on for at least the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, we got another week. And what's great is that it gets condensed into weekends. So you have four straight days of this chaos. And then you take a little break and you do it again for four more days.
You can get back to normal
life.
And
then back to the Final Four. Yeah. It's just like it's a good weekend activity now for the next 3 weekends.
Love it. All right. Well, we'll talk more next week then.
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to be right back here on Kyra Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, I got to tell you this story really fast. I found this really fascinating, and I also found this, I just don't know if I believe it. I certainly don't think they should be feeling this way. But I'll explain it to you, and I don't know, if you're a Gen Z person out there, I'm not trying to dog on you. I want you to have a sunnier perspective on life than it appears that Gen Z has. Listen to this. According to the U.S. Surgeon General, Gen Z is already having a midlife crisis. So Gen Z, still under 30 years old, but they may, this is a New York Post article, but they may be approaching their midlife crisis era. Those born between 1997 and 2012 are already suffering from what many don't experience until middle age. And it's all thanks to, what do you think? Social media, of course. This all according to U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy. What's happening in social media is the equivalent of having children in cars that have no safety features and driving on roads with no speed limits. The Surgeon General told The Guardian, no traffic lights and no rules whatsoever. And we're telling them, you know what? Do your best. Figure out how to manage it. It is insane if you think about it. I agree that it is insane. Let's see here. Murthy was commenting on Gallup's 2024 World Happiness Report, which was released on Wednesday, which found youngsters are the most unhappy group in the U.S. According to this research, on this list, the U.S., we talked about this yesterday on the show, actually. The U.S. ranks 23rd in the world, according to this data on happiness, this happiness report. I don't know how they like put this thing together, but whatever. Let's just say that they're right. So the U.S. ranks 23rd, marking the first time that the U.S. has not been in the top 20 in a while. So since they launched this World Happiness Report, actually. But when you then zero in, when you actually like, I guess not zero in, when you zoom in on under 30-year-olds, so Gen Zers, if you ask them where they think the U.S. ranks on the happiness scale, the U.S. actually drops to 62nd out of the 143 countries that are part of this happiness report. So Gen Zers are particularly not happy. And the reason why they're not happy is social media. So let's see here. The U.S. Surgeon General says, the director of the Wellbeing Research Center says, there is a disconcerting drop in youth happiness, especially in North America and Western Europe. It's like it has fallen off of a cliff. To think that in some parts of the world, children are already experiencing the equivalent of a midlife crisis demands immediate policy action. And this is not the first time that social media has been criticized as harming the well-being of our youth. I don't think of 30-year-olds as our youth, but I guess they are, technically. They're not youth, really. They're just Gen Z. I think of youth as like, you know, kids. A review published in the Journal of Medicine in September suggested that taking selfies is now considered dangerous and they can pose a public health problem. We talked about this a little bit on the show the other day. Jonathan Haidt, he is an author. He's working on a book right now examining this very issue. He has this great article in The Atlantic. You can check it out. It's called The Terrible Costs of a Phone-Based Childhood. He's also writing a book right now on this. Basically, he looks at this and he says, all right, when did we start seeing this dramatic increase in reports of teen unhappiness, in increases in depression, and in suicide? Well, it all kind of goes back to 2012. And what happens in 2012? You have this mass adoption of social media. Suddenly people are like looking at themselves all the time. And not only are they doing that, they have a mechanism in their hand, in their pocket, which allows them to compare their lives to other people's lives. Suicide rates rose by 48% for adolescents between the ages of 10 and 19. From 2010 to 2019, the suicide rates rose by 48%. For girls 10 to 14, it rose by 131%. So the long and short of it is social media for young people, bad. And now we're seeing it everywhere. I'm so glad that people are talking about this. I feel like I'm screaming into the wilderness about social media. I think it's really, really dangerous for young people. And if you're a parent who loves your kid, I think you have to hear stuff like this and go like, yeah, I got to be cautious about how much interaction I let them have with this, because this technology is not made to help them be happier in life. In fact, it looks like it's doing just the opposite. So protect your kids. All right, that's it for our show. Go have a great weekend. Hang out with your family. Do a bunch of fun stuff. Watch some March Madness. I hope all our teams win. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We really do appreciate it. Another great week here. We can put this one to bed. Speaking of bed, I'm very tired now. I'm going to go to sleep. I'll see you back here Monday. Night-night.
And if they keep on trying to act like they're going to come in here and get me, then I'll let that alligator loose and see what they do about that.